All right, folks, I'm back with Clint Winters on ninoscorner.tv. We're doing this again. We had great success the last time. I'm very proud to endorse this supplement. This is an amazing supplement. Phenolidine, folks. You hear me read about it every morning on my morning shows. I have it right here. Clint, thanks for joining me. This is, folks, stick around because this is impressive stuff. There's an opioid crisis happening right now in America. A lot of people, I'm a former addict. I wouldn't say like I was the guy that was like strung out on the streets, shooting. I wasn't that guy, but I was a partier. And nothing was going to stop me until one fateful night I did overdose. I flatlined. They brought me back with a defibrillator. I mean, I was pretty hardcore. So I do consider myself an addict. I'm totally clean now, 4.5 years. And I really do rely on things like this. So thank you, Clint, for helping me stay sober, brother. Clint, thank you for joining me.
Thanks, buddy. It's awesome to be here. And it takes a lot of courage, I know, to even share that personal story about what you went through. And but it just so many Americans have that same story. And unfortunately, a lot of people didn't even start from partying. That's the thing that really kind of got me down this path in looking at how to bring Canola into the masses was a lot of people became accidental addicts. Like they went to the doctor because they hurt their back or had a small accident and got prescribed oxy or fentanyl, and now they're on the street with heroin. They're dead. I mean, it's ravaged the country.
I'm in San
So.
Antonio right now, and there's addicts everywhere. I can't believe the uptick in it. I just lost a friend last year that was on painkillers. He got hit by, he always dabbled in drugs here and there, and I used to party with him all the time in the bars or whatever. And we would, I was, after a fight, I threw a handful of Vicodin in my mouth, and I would chew it and then swallow it. I was like that. But I had a buddy that was kind of the same way. He played pro basketball. Or he actually played down in Mexico, and he was never the same after he retired, and he got hit by a car just like a year and a half ago, busted his knee, and so he was on painkillers. Next thing you know, he ran out of them. He was still in pain. He couldn't get a refill. He got a hold of some bad stuff, and now he's gone. He's no longer with us. He passed away. If he would have been around, I could have introduced him to at least this stuff. I don't think people really understand how important it is to get clean and go the natural route. Seriously.
Yeah, I think it's and it's also even past drugs too. It's so important to protect your health at all costs. Because this is one thing I talk about quite a bit is we tend to put all these other priorities in our life when it comes to wealth and other goals we're trying to attain, but we forget our health. And it's something we don't spend a lot of time on it until it's too late. And we have to change that mindset. We
I
have to
thought,
start.
I thought when I was doing everything, when I was, doing the drugs and partying, and then I was burning the candle at both ends. So I would think, okay, I'm fine because I cut it all out before training camp. When I would go back into training camp for boxing and get ready to prepare for a fight, everything would stop. I may have a glass of wine here and there for dinner, but I was going full, full blast on the training, and then I would stop, and then I would have nothing to do for a couple months, and I'd go right back into partying, and I'd go heavy, and I would be in excess in that. But I still consider myself a healthy guy. I look good in the gym. I had 8% body fat, or sometimes the highest I would have was like 12, and I was a lion, dude. I was a tiger, but I thought I was Superman until I crashed and burned and found out I was a mere mortal. No. But I mean, it just really changed my life, and now I realize how important it is to be off, for me, off everything. Quitting alcohol was one thing, but there was so many vices that came with that alcohol that I had to quit, and I did. Painkillers was one of them. I used to love painkillers. I never thought they were doing anything to me. I'm not going to drink tonight. Tonight, I'm going to take some painkillers. That's how my mindset was. Well, little did I know, it's all the same thing.
So did you get into it initially for pain from
No,
athletics or no?
I like to get high. I would have back pain here and there, and I'd have some pain, and then the doctor would say, "Well, you need a painkiller," and I'd say, "Well, the doctor knows best." So I would just listen to the doctor, but I was like, "Man, I really like." I mean, I anybody who tells you that they're really taking something for pain, I mean, at least in my case, I like the way it made me feel, man. I like feeling high all day. I could get the day done. I was better doing it. I was better at doing my chores. I could just do things. I liked talking to people. I didn't avoid people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just felt better. And I noticed this stuff kind of has the same effect. It's not as extreme, obviously. There's an effect here on this stuff that
And
I feel a
that's
little bit better.
No, you hit on it. So essentially what you're feeling when you're on a painkiller is an intense shot to your pain receptors. So basically all the painkiller is doing is mimicking the effects of your natural endorphin flow. So instead of a drip effect that you want to have that makes you feel good, I'll give you a great example of what people are doing right now that to get that kind of hit of endorphins is this whole ice plunging craze that's all over the place. When you ice plunge, that's one of the major things that happen is your body releases an incredible amount of endorphins. So you get up out of the plunge and you feel awesome. The problem is that feeling isn't replicated, right? So, and as I've talked about before, our endorphin flow fades over time. We become less and less efficient at using it. So what you described with Canoldine is exactly correct. You have a similar feel-good feeling that someone would crave from a painkiller, but it's just not, it's nowhere near as intense, and it doesn't rise to the level of inebriation. You don't feel high.
Yeah, but then some people will say, well, then it's not working instead of giving it a chance. So what I tell people is, because I've had a few people ask me about it, I say, first of all, you got to get off. I had to get off everything in order to tell, like, you kind of have to just do that. You have to get off all the other stuff. You can't take it with pain pills, in my opinion. You may say something different, but I would imagine that you can't take it if you're taking all the other garbage, right? Because that floods your receptor sites and doesn't allow this in. Am I right in saying that?
They're fighting each other. So the
Okay.
only way I've seen people do it is they'll taper their pain pills, and they'll use Canoldine to get their endorphins firing again. It's kind of like when someone comes off TRT and they start to use, different
ECT.
protocols to get their
Yeah.
testosterone firing again. Same premise. So you start to use Canoldine to get your endorphins firing again, because what happens is when you artificially stimulate it time and time again, when you go off cold, your body's forgotten how to release endorphins. It no longer does it. So that's the
So,
problem with
that can lead to depression, right? Right, Cliff? I
depression.
mean, that can lead to anxiety, depression, sleepless, insomnia, right?
And then so what happens? You go right back to the drug because you want to feel better again. Or if you are a chronic pain patient, you're in more pain you've ever been in your entire life, like unbearable pain, because you have these natural functions that are there to fight and work on your behalf, and those things are just shut off. Again, it's like, as guys, it's just like testosterone. If you take synthetic testosterone and then go off, your body's not producing anything. Like it's a really rough
So you
existence.
got to taper off, and then so what I've done with like when I quit drinking, I kind of just tough things out. Like, I cold turkeyed it, man, with the drinking. I cold turkeyed the pain pills, the whole everything. I just quit. Now, I'm not going to say it was the best time of my life. It was terrible. I mean, and plus the depression gets worse, things get worse. But one thing that I did that other people don't do is I was hitting the sauna, I was hitting the gym. I was constantly sweating. I was drinking a lot of water. I was flushing that crap out of my
Getting
system.
out.
Right. And I think that's what benefited me. And then as I felt more stable and normal, that's when I started implementing natural stuff. And now I gotta tell you, I feel amazing. Like, this is the best I've ever felt, man, with all the stuff I'm taking. Your supplement's not the only supplement. Everything I push on my programs, I tell my audience, I try it first. I'm like the guinea pig. I give it a shot. You know, I'm taking an array of some stuff, but I'm out of town right now, and I definitely took your stuff with me because I love to feel good. You know, I feel like it gives me just a little bit of an emotional high, a little bit of a pep in the step. I like to go to the gym. There's some other supplements that help me do the same thing, but I'm on a completely natural supplement kick right now, and I plan to stay on this the rest of my life. Let me ask you this, Clint. People are going to want to know, like, how did you get started in this? How did you come across this supplement? What made you want to push this supplement? Like, how did you even come across this?
So that's a great question. So first of all, by trade, I'm a medical scientist. So
Crazy. You know what I mean?
in relation to Canolidine, I'm the person who actually invented the natural version of Canolidine. So GDR Labs, who sells it, is one who manufactures and physically ships it, but I'm essentially the scientist that created the formulation for it. And before this, I really was in medical devices. I wasn't even in supplements. And it was because of my mom, who was diagnosed with cancer, who went through, a terminal battle, unfortunately, with cancer. And she was in an incredible amount of pain. And the only thing that doctors would give her was morphine. And what it did to my family and I was we knew she had a limited time anyway. So I think most people out there would want to be able to spend time with your loved one. We wanted to spend time with our mom and have dinner with her and see her and maybe take her on a trip. But as soon as she went on that drug, she was just a zombie. So we
So
lost her
you were very close to your mom.
very, yeah. And
Yeah,
even
I am.
closer, actually, towards the end of her life. I got her to, she finally, it was crazy because I've worked out my whole life. And one day she came to me and she said, I want to try working out. She's, in her early 60s. She's never wanted to work out ever.
Yeah.
And I was like, let's do it. So she's, came over to my basement and like started to work out with me. And so we were really close. So I watched her go from probably the best shape of her life to finding out she had cancer to declining and passing all within a year. And that's something that
You
sticks
think
with
that it
me
was that
too.
fast?
It was that fast. Yeah. And that's what, like, for me, it was a real red flag for my own life. I've always lived healthy, but it's really like you have to really take advantage of the time you have because I realized you could be in the best shape of your life in the worst shape of your life in a very short period of time. So
Yeah.
just because things are going good and you feel good, kind of like you're saying, you felt like Superman, right? And then all of a sudden you didn't. So like it
Yeah.
became very, very important to me to always take care of my health and all that. So as I push forward with researching other options for my mom, that's when I first came across Canolidine. And I studied it for her, but I didn't get it done fast enough to help her at all. Like she had passed before I was able to really dig into it. And honestly, I left it dormant for about 2 years. I got into other, just other scientific drivers I was working on. It wasn't my forefront until I really started to see what was happening with the opioid epidemic and people dying and Oxy and all the lies and all these things that were now spread everywhere. And I was like, wait a minute, I remember this research of this compound that was natural that had morphine-like effects without side effects, and no one's talking about it. So I dove back into the research, and I've been fighting since then. I took about 2 years to understand the mechanism of canolidine and understand how to extract it to turn it into. If you notice, it's a liquid. It's just a bundle. It's
Yeah.
not a, it's
Yeah,
not a
folks,
pill.
let
It's
me
not a
do this.
powder.
I'll do it right here. It's kind of wow.
Yeah, it goes right into your tummy.
Another
That's
time,
it,
right? Wow.
just like that. So I figured out the bioavailability aspect. So the reason why it's a liquid is from a process called dual polar extraction. So the extraction process actually extracts the alkaloids from the raw compound of crepe jasmine and puts it into a liquid format like you have there. That was a fairly arduous process because alkaloids are very fragile. It took me lots of trial and error to understand how to get the right potency. And once that was finished and I had it, then it turned into, okay, how do I get this distributed? So I started to meet with manufacturers and I went with the one that was essentially a company that's 15 minutes from my house. I could walk their facility.
Wow.
I knew they're 100% American made. Everything A to Z is underneath one roof, which is very important to me because there's so much nonsense in the supplement industry where things are made overseas, they're not tested, you don't know what's in it. So and that helped because as we move forward with like UFC and some of the bigger relationships that GDR has, they needed the drug testing aspect. They need to know if they're going to give this to an athlete that they're not going to pop positive for some nonsense you put inside of your formula. So again, being able to see the whole process made me very comfortable with them as a company. And then it's just turned to getting the word out. Because that's the other part of this is you would think that during that period of time, and even now with all the overdose deaths and addiction, that this discovery would be yelled from the rooftops with the media. Hey, we have this thing, it's available. It's
They don't want that.
no, they don't want that because it's not,
They don't want
it's
that.
no.
There's no
And I
money
could,
in that. I
and you know
mean,
what I
there's
did
money in it for
find?
you, but.
Yeah. And the thing is, there's money in selling supplements, but there's not the same they know that if they're able to create a synthetic version and patent it, it's like, I think I said before in your show, pain is like $100 billion market.
Yeah.
So you're talking about the difference of, you know, having a successful growing American company and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. It's two different spectrums of what you see out there. And those companies are based on profit. They're not worried about the American public. They're not worried about,
they don't give a damn about any of us.
No, they don't at all.
I know that. And you have a very intimate and truthful story behind why, how you came across Canolidine. How does Canolidine work? Like, how can you tell my, explain the scientific, I guess scientifically how this compound works inside the body.
Sure. Okay.
Really,
so
and I think it, you explained it last time, but I think my audience really needs to hear this again.
Yeah. And there's an important point I'm going to point out at the end too, after I go through it. But so basically in your brain, you have four known pain receptors. So those four known pain receptors are the ones that the pain drugs will target. And example, morphine is the word morphine. When you compare it to endorphin, endo is inside, internal fiend. So morphine, it's internal morphine. That's where they got the term endorphin from, was from morphine initially. That's how they named it. So as your body releases endorphins, they normally are supposed to mechanically attach to these four pain receptors and give you relief. So if you fast forward in your mind and think about when you were a child, and you got hurt, you maybe hurt for a day, then you were fine. And, you know, as a younger athlete, right, you get hurt or go through rough training, and a couple days later, you're fine. Well, yeah, then
you start noticing that, you start noticing it in your 30s, man.
Exactly.
I mean, I look back in my 30s now, I mean, I was a young man, but no, comparatively speaking, you know, at 25 to 35, I noticed a big difference in that 10 year window.
Yeah, 30 is the onset of age. That's when you start to lose testosterone. Your natural functions start to degrade. And one of those functions, which really we've never talked about until we've talked about Canolidine, is your endorphin flow. So that starts to degrade. And what scientists found was, originally with these four receptors, they found a fifth. And that fifth is called a scavenger receptor. And this receptor gets stronger as you get older. So this scavenger receptor is stealing your endorphins. So imagine your brain releasing endorphins, and now this thing is stealing them. It never makes it to the four.
Well, hold on. Is that why it's never the same when you get older? Like the partying and all that stuff? I mean, everything. I mean,
everything.
Enjoyment in life kind of diminishes. Is it because of that scavenger receptor?
It's because of the scavenger receptor
stealing. No way.
That scavenger receptor is stealing endorphins from your brain flow. It never makes it to those pain receptors. It never makes it to the feel-good receptors you need to feel better. They just never make it.
Because you think about like the great times I had in my 20s. I mean, just the electrifying, like, you know, I was always into the adrenaline dumps. You know, nothing will ever compare to like the boxing. I had 36. I was 36-0, and every single win was like amazing. Like, oh, I get a huge adrenaline dump, massive dumps of serotonin. But I noticed after like 10 or the 15 fights, it wasn't as strong as it was the first five fights, my very first fight.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that's just the mind, the brain getting used to it. And I would win belts and be like, let's, I won the Texas Heavyweight Championship. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I won the Texas Heavyweight Championship. I'd be like, that was pretty cool. I'm going to go get the next one. But I didn't have the dumps that I was getting. Is that why?
Because that's why. Sponsor?
Are
that's
you
why
serious?
That's why. That's what they figured out. They finally figured out that scavenger receptor is robbing your endorphin flow. So people are now trying to create that endorphin flow through these things like ice plunging and different activities. So you get it naturally through like eating chocolate for certain people, sex for other people. Like there's different activities you can do that will give you a small release of it, but it's not sustained.
That's why being promiscuous is always a dump, an adrenaline dump, because it's a different partner every time. Yep. People get sick of the same partner and they need something new. And so it's the same thing.
Yes, releasing the hormones. And to your point, when you become used to something, so let's say it's an injury, right? If you keep getting hurt and your body's used to having that same issue, your endorphin flow, again, weakens. So now it turns into something that was, it should have been just 2 days of pain. Now it's chronic pain. Now your knee hurts every single day because this natural function is no longer working the way it should. So what Canolidine does it simply covers up. It binds to that fifth scavenger receptor and covers it. So in about 7 days.
How does it not go to the other four?
Because you don't want those covered. You want those four receiving.
But I know, but how does canolidine just go after that one?
Yeah, so it's the mechanism of the compound itself. So it's almost like a magnetic effect. So you have certain cells in your body that are attracted to other cells. So just so happens that the molecular makeup of canolidine is attracted to this scavenger cell and connects to it like a magnet.
Okay, so it's not. Okay, so let me get this straight. So it's just covering the scavenger cell so that the other four receptor sites can get the endorphins.
Correct.
It's not making you increase your endorphins.
No, your brain's able to produce
it. So then could a drug addict be like, oh, that's awesome. So then I'm just going to take the canolidine and go ahead and go take some hits because I know now that the canolidine is just taking that fifth receptor site out of it because he's going to want that high. All the time. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm going with? Ooh,
yeah. That's... So. Oh.
Sorry.
That's the thing.
My mind went there. I don't know.
Yeah. People will go different places when they understand.
Right. But that's
we've been rigging the way the body works forever. But here's the important part. Yeah. I was going to say the important part of that function, though, is you're not artificially boosting anything. You're letting your body do its job. Because anytime that you try to artificially take the place of a function is when you get into trouble and when your body starts to shut down. So that's why canolidine, the way it works, is great because it, and that's why you don't have addiction and that's why you don't have side effects, is it's not manipulating the body. It's just allowing the body to function better. So it's saying, hey, your brain's releasing endorphins. Let's take away, let's kill the issue. And now it's going to function properly.
See, me 5 years ago, I'd be like, oh, I'm going to take canolidine so that I can for sure get those endorphin hits. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we live in this, but now, obviously now I'm clean. I'm trying to do everything the right way. I am doing everything the right way. But me 5 years ago, I'd be like, oh, canolidine, we got to take this canolidine. Yeah. So, we live in the land of instant gratification, instant quick fixes. You got fast food. You go to the doctor, he gives you a pill for everything. They're like the legal, basically they're the drug pushers now, right?
Yep.
And everything is instant gratification. Anything you want, you just type it in on the keyboard. That's the land we live in. So when you tell people, and I say this, if you want to live the right life, you got to knock off all the other stuff and slowly implement this. They're going to say, man, I'm just in too much pain. I don't want to wait that long. What's in it for them? I mean, you get what I'm saying? Like for me, I'm able to do it. I have a very strong mindset, but a lot of people are like, no, forget that. I'm in too much pain. I just gonna stay on the pain pills.
Yeah. So first of all, there's lots of people out there that actually get cut off from the pain pills. So even though they want to stay on it, a lot of them aren't long-term prescribed pain pills any longer.
So then they go to fentanyl.
So this is a bridge. This allows them to use. So what I would say to that person is taper. Keep using the pain pill, but taper down and allow canolidine to be the bridge for you. So then you just slowly transition over to canolidine. So at least you still have that feel good. At least you have relief, but you're not. Because the other thing too is when you're inebriated all day, and I'm sure you can attest to this with a clear head, you can really enjoy life more when you're not high. Like when you can, you're so clear.
You feel more.
Yeah.
You feel more. I feel every emotion a lot more now.
And that's how people by and large want to live their life. So this gives that opportunity back. And another important aspect of canolidine too is you don't just take it when you're in pain. This is something you take continuously as a supplement to boost that function, because whether you're experiencing pain or even if you're an athlete, so we have many, many, many athletes that use it to get an edge in the gym, because if you train and you can come out of training and you're not quite as sore and you can recover a little bit faster and your mindset's different and you can get back in the next day and train harder. And someone of your level as a professional athlete, it's a game of 1%. If you can get 1% better, that can be the difference of being a champion or not. Because everyone's so great at a certain level. So any little advantage you're looking for, but for your average person who's, been out of shape and they're just trying to get back in the gym, what I kept coming back to is pain is a major limiter. So when you get going on a new gym regimen, why do most people quit? Because it hurts, mm-hmm. right? They get 2 or 3 days in, they're sore, they can't move. They're like, I can't do this, right? So, and then as you get older, if you do have some sort of injury you're dealing with and you're in pain, that's what stops your life. There's far too many people right now living that have spent their whole lives working and getting to retirement. And then they get to that spot and they're too in pain to actually enjoy. They can't go play golf. Yeah. They can't go work out. Their whole life is essentially over, you know? And that's the world we live in, is we're in a very painful society.
It's pretty crazy. It's like, it almost seems like engineered to me. Like just hear me out on this, because the doctors prescribe you all this medicine, all this pain medicine, and then they say, yeah, that's it. We can't give you anymore. Yep. And then you're sitting there going, okay, now you just got me addicted to something. Yeah. I need to fix. Oh, wait a minute. China's bringing in how much fentanyl a day, a week, a month, a year? So I'm just going to go to the black market and get it. It almost seems like this is strategy. I swear, like my mind goes there.
No, I know this. It's hard to listen. It's hard to not go there. It's hard to not go there with the way pharma has treated the country and just the way our system is set up for failure. Like, our system is not set up for the person, right? There's nothing in our medical system at all that's set up for the good of the actual patient. The caveat is, I do believe there's good doctors. I've talked to them. There's friends I have that are really good doctors. But they're in this system that's perverted. You know, the system is about making money. It's not about patient care. So you're right. You go in. The only thing they do is give a pill. Frankly, most doctors will admit this. They're not really trained. They're not trained in nutrition. I think they have a few hours of all their schooling that's actually nutrition. So they're not trained in any of these other aspects. You know, they're trained to, okay, you come in, I'm going to diagnose you. Here's your script. Move on, because I got to see 100 other people today. It's that fast.
One of my friends, a general practitioner, I remember going to his office. He's like, hey, fill this out. Or, I heard you have some anxiety before fights. Isn't that? I'm like, yeah, I do. He had me fill out a one page thing. Do you feel like this during the day? Do you feel like this? Or do you sometimes think of this? Do you do that? I was like, checking it off. I'm like, what's this for? He goes, why? You need an antidepressant. I'm like, wait a minute, man. You can do that now? I don't have to go to a shrink to do this. Do you do this now? Like, this is now your forte also. Like, it's just turned into this buffet of whatever you want. And any doctor can just give you whatever you need, and it's all good, and it's a quick fix.
I mean, it's turned into where you can go online now and you can just email with a doctor, fill out a survey like that, and the next day you can get whatever script you want. I mean, you're right.
I actually had a friend that became a therapist online through some kind of thing. And then he went on this website to where he's one of the therapists on the and he's like making a lot of money just talking to people. And I know this guy doesn't know his ass from his elbow. You know what I mean? It's just crazy. I'm like, people are telling you their problems, bro. Weren't you just doing lines in the bathroom like 3 weeks ago? You know, like, I'm just like, what? It just blows my mind, like, where we are at as a society. Yeah. And the truth of it is, you got to get clean. You got to give this a shot. How long do you suggest people take this? Like, so if you had to tell someone how to take this, you agree with me in the sense of get off all the other stuff first or taper on it and then implement this. So how long does it take for the average person to start feeling the effects of this?
From research, it's 7 days. There's a lot of people that feel it a lot sooner. Some people will take a little bit longer, but 7 days is the average, because that it takes time for the canolidine to work through your blood system, work past your blood-brain barrier, and start to build up in your system enough to affect that scavenger receptor. So that's why there's a time.
How many times a day?
So for the average person, just once a day is fine. If you are dealing with chronic pain, you can take it up to two. So what I recommend in that sort of situation is you take it in the morning and take it at night. The other recommendation is make sure whenever you take it consistently the same time. So you're allowing your body to absorb it properly. So if you take your supplements in the morning, just add it then and take it. So try to be consistent with when you take it, and take it daily. Take it. Don't just take it. Hey, I'm hurt, or I have a little bit of pain, I'm going to take it for 8 days and quit. That add this to your regimen. because again, you're supporting that function, and it supports all these other areas, like you said, that endorphins support, like your mood, the way you just deal with daily aches and pains, the way you deal with your workouts, all those things will improve.
You know what else this has helped me stay away from since I've been taking this stuff? It has kind of a spicy t-shirt. The flavor of it is a kind of like a spicy, like almost a hot sauce type of feeling. Yeah. I don't know how to explain it, but it's also helped me stay away from energy drinks, man.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just don't crave them anymore. Like I put that stuff in before I go work out. I'm like, it kind of gives me that taste. And I'm just like, I don't really think I need an energy drink. Like I used to drink like the Red Bulls, the Monsters, like whatever they had, Bang, you know. And now I'm like, I don't drink any of that stuff anymore. I'm like, man, am I getting more lame? Like, what's happening to me here? Like, it's just, yeah. I'm just doing natural stuff now. My life's just improving. I'm at an elevated, kind of consistent, feel good instead of the ding 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 ding,
yep.
The highs and lows. That was my life. I was a ping pong ball. I was a I was a pinball machine. Like I was like the ball in the pinball machine. That was my life.
Yep.
Now it's just kind of like, all right, I'm coasting. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm riding this wave. I'm taking these supplements. I'm staying here, man. I'm staying right here. I'm just staying in this gear. So I got people like you to thank for that, man. I'm glad people like you, Clint Winters, folks. I'm glad you came across my path. I'm really proud to be taking this stuff. I'm proud to be pushing it for you. And you are definitely a guest that can come on anytime and talk about this stuff, Clint.
Thanks, buddy. And just so your audience knows too, we have that link that's set up just for you. I know GDR like gave a really, I think it's like $29 a bottle. It's a very, very low price. And the whole point is just to give access so people can try it and use it. There's a 90-day money back guarantee. I think it's important to just give it a shot because this is the one part of the body that we're neglecting. And once you start taking care of your endorphins and that part of your brain, I mean, you're right. Cause like you mentioned energy drink, and that's such a brilliant thing. Our body doesn't know how to differentiate between the chemicals it needs and how it feels. So we always go to caffeine. We think that caffeine is going to make us feel better, but in reality, there's chemicals like endorphins and serotonin and other things that aren't working properly, that really that's what the body is looking for. So by giving your body something to aid in the endorphin flow, it really can be life-changing and has been life-changing for so many people. So it's trykano.com/Nino, I think. And yeah.
But the first and foremost, you can't make anybody drink, do anything. You can take the horse to the water, but you can't make them drink. It's just like, you got to be willing to go through the hard parts of cutting out the other stuff.
Yeah.
To really, people just want the instant fix, man. And that's not the answer, folks. I suggest really trying to, you know, get off the stuff you're on right now and supplement this stuff in, implement this stuff in, and really try to change your life. If I can do it, anybody can do it. I'm a former addict. I have no problem saying that. I was an extremist in everything I did. And I almost didn't make it. I'm on bonus time right now. So thank you to people like Clint Winters, folks. Clint, like I said, you're always welcome on my show. You're doing a great thing for humanity, my bro.
Thanks, buddy. It's always a pleasure.
You got it. Take care. All right, bro.